Hi there, this is Mihai, and during the next few minutes, during this very short video, we're going to talk about why dev and test with Microsoft Azure. I know dev and test or development and testing is a major subject nowadays, especially because of how Azure can help. And I wanted to go through the introductory part of this subject in this first video of a longer series that I have prepared. First of all, a few words about me. I'm a Microsoft MVP, Most Valuable Professional on Azure, which means that I have the luck to be in close contact to the product team, the guys which are actually working on the technologies around Azure. My day-to-day job is to be a general manager at Avelgo. This is a custom software development and consulting, training and IT infrastructure company in Romania. We are a Microsoft Gold Cloud platform partner. We have been working with Azure for more than 6.5 years, so from its early beginnings. We have been lucky enough to have one of our solutions featured as a case study on Microsoft.com, and we have been nominated as the Cloud SME of the Month in Europe a few years ago. I'm also, because I'm a community guy, that's being an MVP mostly, I'm also a co-organizer of ITCAM.ro, which is a premium IT conference in Transylvania, in Romania. Good, now let's go into the subject. Dev and test, what is it? It's about development and testing. It's about what needs to be done to have dev and test or staging environments to test, to demo, or to do any kind of integration testing with your solution that you might develop. It's about continuous integration, it's about continuous deployment, and it is part of a more generic term, in my opinion, which is DevOps. Good. A few very short, very, very clear objectives that we have. See the challenges that we have today in the software industry with Dev and Test, and then see how Azure can help. First of all, the challenges. One of the biggest challenges today is that there's a major disconnection between development and QA teams on one hand and infrastructure teams on the other hand. So every time we engage with customers which have big IT departments or which are big software companies on their own, we see this every time, right? So there's a big software group which is doing development, which is doing QA, and there's a big infrastructure group, which is a separate entity, and there's some friction between those because the whole process of creating environments in order for development or for QA to test or to do a demo or to do some staging is very, very inefficient, right? And the major question here is who is in charge of this temporary infrastructure? And this is every time we walk and discuss with a new customer on this topic, we find this process, right? So first of all, the development team or the QA team asks for a new environment. It could be a set of virtual machines, for example, to do some testing or to do some demo, right? This request actually goes through a ticketing application, through internal tool for requests, is sent to the proper channels, in the end to the person actually doing the job. And that is an infrastructure person which will create some virtual machines as per requests or as he or she understood the request. And then the development team is notified, hey, here is your environment, here are your VMs. Sometimes the VMs are not exactly as the developers have requested or expected. There's, you know, infrastructure people who are trying to create environments for development teams, and sometimes, you know, information is not detailed enough or useful enough for the infrastructure to do that. So all these steps are redone. In the end, you know, this environment is received. It could be 5 days or even 2 weeks in between the first request for creating the environment to the infrastructure team until the environment is up and ready. So 10 days is not quite efficient, right? Then tests are done, demos are done, whatever needs to be done with this environment is finished. And then many times development teams forget to notify the infrastructure that this environment, these virtual machines are not requested anymore, which is another problem. Okay, so major disconnection between the two, very inefficient process. Another problem which derives from what we have just said is cost, right? Having tens of virtual machines floating around which nobody uses, that's a major issue. If development teams, you know, stop using an environment because their project finished, or because their phase finished, or because they simply don't need them anymore, but forget to tell the infrastructure people about this fact, well, there's, you know, an let's say, opportunity to improve that cost. That's one topic here. And the other reason why it's very costly today is because most of the time these temporary environments are not needed 24/7, 365 days per year. They are needed maybe 3 or 4 hours a day, every weekday, not during the weekends. They are needed probably at every iteration or at every, I don't know, sprint, however the development process might be in that case. So maybe they are needed probably two days every 2 weeks, and so on and so forth. So just by being, if we were able to optimize the creation and deletion of such environments, we would be able to reduce the cost even to 25, even probably to 40% of the total cost, just because they are not needed 24/7. Another major obstacle is skill sets. You have on one hand developers, on the other hand you have infrastructure people. They don't really speak each other's language. Going back to the example of the request of a developer creating a request or a ticket for some virtual machines to be created, just imagine a developer saying, you know, please create me a virtual machine where I can run my ASP.NET website on. What does an infrastructure guy understand out of that? Probably he or she would figure out that a web server is needed. Probably it's IIS, but which version? What kind of updates do I need to put on that machine? What kind of other prerequisites do we need? You know, different language, different skill sets, another major obstacle. And business constraints, of course. In a software as a service world, where when our customers, our users, have been, you know, used to getting new releases, new features every week or every day, right? It's very fast, the development pace is very fast. You simply cannot afford to wait for 10 days for an environment to be created, right? You have pressure to deliver faster, to have shorter time to markets. That's another challenge. Last but not least, environments are hard to configure, especially if you want to be able to create an environment repeatedly and identically. Let's say you need to test your solution from time to time in a staging environment, which needs to be identical to the production environment, right? It's very hard to create environments which are identical in a repeated manner, unless you do something specifically about this. How does it look like today? Well, you have your own data center, you have your own servers in your premises. The developers use the environments or the virtual machines that have been created for them by the IT people. So IT guys, the infrastructure people, are provisioning those virtual machines inside their own data center. So long wait times, high costs, developer productivity very low. This is how it looks like. How can Azure help? Well, what if it would look like this, right? Still developers using those VMs, but they are able to provision them on their own. Of course, you don't have developers who learned IT skills overnight. You still need the IT people, the infrastructure guys, to do some scripting, to do some templating. And during the next videos of this series, we're going to talk about how this is done, using some special tools, some special techniques. So in the end, the developers will be given the mechanism for them to create, to trigger the creation of the environments on their own. And then they become responsible for that environment or those environments. They are also required to delete them and to stop them. And they have all the mechanism in place, all the mechanisms in place to do that. So in the end, much shorter infrastructure wait time, because developers don't need to make a request to another team. When they need, they do it on their own. Much lower costs, because you have mechanisms to start and stop environments when you don't need them. And of course, much better productivity on the development teams. Azure by itself has been created with a few goals in mind. First of all, it's self-service, so development team can create environments. You simply go to the portal, or you have the ARM Azure Resource Manager templates. There are different mechanisms. You can do it on your own because Azure is self-service. Then it's elastic. You have lots of techniques to shut down, to start virtual machines overnight, over weekends, whenever you want. You can scale very easily. You can auto scale also very easily. So many mechanisms here also. It's fast, right? Provisioning one virtual machine in Azure takes less than 10 minutes usually. Provisioning 100 virtual machines in Azure takes, again, less than 10 minutes. It's much faster than you would be able to do it on your own in your own data center. And of course, we have mechanisms for less waste. This is a very specific set of features in Azure, which we're going to explore in one of our next videos in this series. Azure, with its special, let's say, architecture to create resources, which is called Azure Resource Manager, is able, or actually can create resources which are based on a template. Again, this is one of the features we're going to explore later on. But in short, these templates can be reused to create identical environments over and over again. And of course, Azure integrates very well with the existing development toolchain. It could be Visual Studio or Visual Studio Team Services, Git, Puppet, Chef, Eclipse, whatever. We cannot talk about Azure in the context of dev and test without mentioning the continuous integration tools. So it's either TFS, Team Foundation Services, a server, or it's Visual Studio Team Services, or the online version of TFS. They both integrate very well with Azure, especially TFS 2015 Update 2, and of course VSTS, which is a software as a service solution in the browser, right? So this is the tool set from Microsoft. It's either TFS or VSTS with Azure integration that we're going to explore during the next videos. A very simplified process. In the end, what our goal is, during the development, during the build times, during the testing, and during the releases, and also when our solution has been released, we are not going to need any local infrastructure anymore. Well, except for development. You need, you know, a laptop or a machine to write your code in. But then to build or to test or to release, you don't need environments. So things like local environments, so things like build server or release server, you don't need them anymore. You can do it directly with agents from Azure. And also when you deploy your solution, you will deploy it into an environment you have created in Azure. This is how it would look like. Very simplified. Next steps, please follow my Channel 9 channel where you see videos like this one. So expect more in this series. Check our website. And if you want to get in contact, direct contact with me, don't hesitate to do so. I have all the means right here on the website. Thank you very much for watching. Please check out my other videos.